This afternoon we are going to think about the Psalm 140. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man, who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications. O Lord, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device. Lest they exalt themselves, Selah. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted, and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The Psalm 140 is a study in depravity. What is depravity? It is the nature of man. It describes and defines man as a being who is far from God, who seeketh his own path, who goeth his own way, who exerciseth himself according to the gratification of his own desires and his own lusts, without thinking about who he hurts, who he harms, who he offends, who he tramples on. Man seeks to please himself. This is depravity, and this is a description of life that is in this world. In Romans chapters 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul describes the fallen world in which he lives. And the whole aim of the book of Romans is that the gospel might be presented, but before Paul presents the gospel and explains the gospel, he shows why the world needs the gospel. And in order that he might show why the world needs the gospel, he pictures man as a hopelessly depraved creature. And as Paul depicts man and his depravity, he quotes from this psalm that I have read, the Psalm 140. Because here in this psalm, David talks about violence. He talks about people being gathered together for war. He talks about a deceitful people who sharpen their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. With that in mind, just listen to how Paul described the Roman world from Romans 3 verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This was a picture of the Roman world, but is it not also a picture of our world? David, as he looked at the society he lived in, Paul, as he looked at the world in which he lived in, and as we look at the world in which we live in, and thousands of years separate us from David to Paul to the present day. And while man has changed in that he has made many discoveries, and that he can travel further, and that he can communicate better, yet man's heart is still principally the same. He is still the same liar. He is still the same cheat. He is still the same deceptive individual, and he still remains the same creature capable of terrible violence against his fellow man. Yes, we do live in a depraved world, and as Paul talked about the depraved world, he said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. This ultimately is the reason why people sin. They do not fear God. They do not recognize that there is a judge of all the earth, who looks upon them, who sees them, who beholds every action, who weighs all of their actions in his balances, one who every man and woman will stand before one day. The reason why there are so many atheists today is because man would prefer not to believe God and to face up to the fact that there is a God. Because if there is truly a God, that must profoundly change the lifestyle. But if there is no God, then man can carry on and do his own thing, live according to his own pleasure. He has nothing to worry about. But if there is a God, man has everything to worry about. And therefore it is so convenient to be an atheist. But to be an atheist will not get you off the hook in the day of judgment, because you will stand before God, and there will be no atheists on that day. There are no atheists who die. Every person who dies instantly becomes a believer in God. Not necessarily a follower of God, but a believer that there is a God. The devil is not an atheist. We are told that the very devils, they believe and tremble. There are no atheists in hell. Because in hell, the people who suffer realize that there is a God. And so people choose their own path. They choose this kind of godless life. What kind of life are you living? Is it a life of ignoring God? A life of running away from God? A life of gratifying your own pleasure and your own sin? David contemplated the world in which he lived in. It was a realistic picture, yet it was a black picture. And yes, it is a depressing picture. But yet in the midst of all of this, David began to pray. And this is what Christians can do and ought to do. This is how we respond to the sin that is abroad. We pray. And therefore in the Psalm 140 verse 6, David said, "Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. Thou art my God." God is the Father of his people. And if you're a Christian today, you can be comforted. Whatever's going on in the world and in society, you can come to the Lord and you can say, "You are my God." God takes poor lost sinners. He binds them in a covenant relationship with himself. He becomes their father. God is not the father of everyone. Perhaps you pray that prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," but God's not your father. God is only your father whenever you are redeemed, you are regenerated, you have a new nature. You give your life to him. You renounce your sin and turn to God. Only then will he be your father. It is so important that you have this relationship with him, that you can say to the Lord, "Thou art my God." In order that God might become your God, you must repent of your sin. You must confess your sin. You must humble yourself before God. And you must seek him for mercy. David contemplated the fact that God had heard him in the past. "O God, the Lord," he said in verse 7, "the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle." God preserves his people. And this is so comforting. To know that the Lord is your God is to be preserved. God will never allow one of his people to be lost. He keeps us to the very end. And David was consoled because this God whom he sought was just. In the verse 12, "I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted, the right of the poor." There is little justice in this world. Although man tries to be just, and although every proper society is structured according to justice, yet justice ultimately will fail because man is a depraved creature. Perhaps you have been suffering from injustices. Injustices in a personal way, in a business way, perhaps even further afield. Wrongs have been perpetrated upon you and the law of the land has not stood by you. I can turn your eyes to the Lord. We're told that he maintains the cause of the afflicted. He is a just God. And there is justice with him. That's why you ought to trust him and give him your life, because he is just. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. Others will, but God never will, because he is just. His justice was executed at the cross, where Jesus Christ took upon himself our sin in order that we might be redeemed. And this is where Paul's very black picture of Roman society in the book of Romans comes to a great conclusion. Because having said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," he started talking about the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. About a God who can be just and yet can be the very justifier of the one that believeth in Jesus. Yes, you can be justified. You can be made righteous through Christ. Through Christ who died for you. He took your sins on his own body on that cross. You can be just through him. You can have life through him. You can have a relationship with God through him. Therefore I appeal to you today to bow your head and seek the Lord. Give him your life, that you might have peace with God in a world that lacks peace and justice. You can have peace with the God of creation. I thank you so much for listening.